Let's see if Val is... There she is. Good morning. How are you? Uh-oh.
You know, I'm just going to pull back a little bit because I'm sitting and the sun is coming through my back door.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good. Get yourself situated.
This is better. Yeah.
Your Wi-Fi is a little bit, like your connection is a little bit... suspect slightly.
Okay, hold on. Let me just let me flip it from Wi-Fi to hold on, just 1 second.
Okay, sounds good. I can hear you well. Your video doesn't come through as good though. That's the only thing. And while we're waiting for Val, just want to welcome you guys back. Thank you for being here. This is another episode of the Afro Yoga Podcast. Black and Well Abroad is the series for season 2. We are fully in. We're going to Canada. Yes, there she is in all her glory. Love, love, love it. All right. Hey, Val, girl, how you doing?
Girl. I got a cup of tea and I got a canteen of water because... with everything going on, your girl is dehydrated.
Come on.
I'm trying to make sense of the world. I could get up in here and lie to you and say, girl, I'm doing fine. But the ripple effects of the shenanigans down south.
Come on.
Girl.
We need to stay well hydrated out here. Val says stay well hydrated. Get you a cup of tea and your canteen of water, please. And thank you. And you know I have my tea.
Right.
Yes, we are in here.
I heard you clinking.
Always. Well, I'm so happy to have you here and to be back on the podcast. It's been a minute. You guys know I've been in Mexico. It was incredible. I think about it every day. I can't wait to go back.
You should.
Yeah, trust me. I will. But yeah, just glad to be here and to reconnect and be on live. Val, we've known each other for a minute now.
I think the other day when I was talking about you and sharing some stuff, I've known you for 2 years, literally almost exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. It's funny. I met you in the fall of, 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a minute and I'm just so glad to see. I'm always so happy for you. I really am.
Thank you.
Just always, there's always something and you've inspired me to keep it pushing because there have been times where I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And then you do something or you reach out to me and I'm like, okay, just keep going. So,
you know, I'm not going to let you off the hook, girl.
I know you're dragged. I am being dragged.
Oh my goodness, girl.
Voluntarily, okay?
However it happens, as long as we're moving forward.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I would love to, I know that today's talk, we kind of set the foundation of wanting to talk a little bit about what a blueprint could look like, which is so funny that you use that word because I spoke about a blueprint earlier this week. On the gram as I was coming back. Yeah. So it's kind of aligned. And I'm excited to talk about the possibilities of what a blueprint can look like as we're really moving into our full and whole selves, which is what you spoke to me about, what you wanted to chat on. But before we get into that piece, I want you to place us, like, where are you? What is it like there? And how has your yoga journey been as a Black woman in that space?
Oh, wow, that's such a big question. Okay, so for those of you who do not know, I live in Canada, but I live in a very rural community. So geographically, I'm in the center-west part of Canada. So if you're living in the United States, I'm north of North Dakota by about 5.5 hours.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We are up here in the sticks. And I live in... the forest. I literally live in a provincial park on a lake. There are about 400 like cabins that are in this particular community. And then the nearest town is about 10 minutes away. And that's a little shy of 2,000 people. the nearest city is like 2.5 hours away. And I call a city a place where there's an airport, okay? So I'm out here. I live in a very small place. I've been practicing yoga for many years, but about 10 years ago, decided to become a yoga teacher. And then I've been teaching here locally, and I've done workshops and retreats in other locations here in Canada. So I do travel. I do get out. So it's been an interesting experience. I've lived all over the world.
Yeah.
I've lived in 7 countries, but I my home
somehow you ended up in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Nowhere. I've been everywhere, but ended up in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And I did it for love. My husband is from this community. I try not to give him a hard time about living here, but
I mean,
you know I do. Especially in the winter. Like, I don't mind. Like, the summer, it's absolutely gorgeous out here. Like, I mean, I'm surrounded by, like, spruce trees that are about 120 feet tall.
Wow.
There's a lake. It's gorgeous. It kind of, I took my yoga teacher training in Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that vibe.
Okay.
It's very green, lush, you know, just very scenic and beautiful. But that winter that I'm bracing myself for, that ain't cute. Minus 40 is not cute. Okay.
Not in any way imaginable.
I am not a cute chocolate popsicle, okay?
So, needless to say, you are probably, if not the only, close to the only Black woman, Black person.
Black woman.
Okay.
I'm not the only Black person, but I'm the only Black woman. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. That is my claim to the fame here. Yeah. You know, hey, sometimes I think it's difficult. I won't lie.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at how my life has unfolded, and there is nothing I haven't experienced in other places in the world. So my experience here really isn't that much different.
Wow.
And that's very, I think from my perspective, like, that's very telling.
Absolutely. That was my thought exactly of, like,
yeah,
wow.
You got to make your mind up that wherever you're going to be, you have to commit to your own happiness, your own internal joy, your own internal freedom and liberation. And sometimes, at least in my case, I have had to get hella creative to do that.
Hella.
hella.
La 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 la. Right.
But it serves me well. Like, I mean, like I said, I live here, but I still travel and you know, I circulate the world. I mean, last year I took my son to Germany. Like, I'm not landlocked. Your girl is not trying to live that life. But I can really, like I said, just appreciate the fact that no matter where I am, it's truly my decision to be happy. It's my choice. It's my life practice, you know, and like I said, I just wish it were not the case.
Yeah.
Wherever we go,
right,
in the world,
right,
but that, it is. So you may as well just live and be happy, y'all. Okay, like,
look and listen. I mean, I think that it's a gift and not, because it has really, really allowed. Like, we're so resilient. Right. As Black people,
yes.
And especially as Black women. And I think that
women.
The conditions and the circumstances that we find ourselves in, regardless of where we are in the world, as we've learned through the series of this podcast, we always find a way.
Yeah.
Right. And regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the racism, regardless of the environment, the community, whatever the case may be. And I think that puts us so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, I feel people
too.
Our counterparts would crumble, would not.
At the seams.
Whole dress on the ground, like, whole everything on the ground. Like, y'all, they're not gonna make it.
Yeah, I don't know what fragility is, okay?
come on and talk about it, because and I think, again, you know, it's something that's can be difficult to embrace, because it's so fucked up that that's the reality, but yet it's part of what makes us who we are. It's part of the gift and the magic of us in being creative and finding ways to be creative and finding ways to make the most out of any situation. It sounds like
we're not alone in that. You know what I mean? Like I don't know, obviously through technology, that's how I met you, and that's how I connect with a lot of people on my platform. But just knowing that we're not alone, like to be able to look at each other or maybe see something when you're scrolling and know, ooh, I know what she's going through. Mm-hmm. I feel her. Yes. I see her. I know her.
Yes.
I am her. It's intense.
Yes.
It's intense, right?
Yes, it is. But beautiful. It's a beautiful struggle, right?
It's a beautiful intensity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lady Millard says, learning to be vibrational versus strong, right? It's okay not to be not strong. I love that. That's real.
Yeah.
We're learning to be vibrational. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I want to grab a question up here really quick. Sorry about that. Esme says, do you miss Black sisterhood?
Yes.
Or is that an experience that you even had in your life? Because some of us didn't have that experience.
You know what? I choose to look at it differently. Like, physically, you know. Times to not see reflections of myself, right?
Mm.
However, through, like, being online, I just feel like I have a connection and I have found my community. And again, I think that just sort of goes back to no matter where I am, just being intentional about like what's going to make me happy. And so part of my happiness is finding my sisters no matter where I am in this world.
Right.
But I do miss that. I do miss the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Just looking at us.
Yes.
I just miss that. I can't say it. There's just something. You know, and when I do encounter sister folk or brother folk, like when I go to the city, I am that Negro.
Are you? Are like, hey!
And I try to hold it down sometimes, but I can't help myself. I'm like, hey!
Right, way past the head nod. It's like, yo.
Forget the head nod. That's just craziness. That's a lie. I'm beyond the head nod, okay? And then especially like if you're a Latina, un hispanoparlante, girl, that's even better.
Come on.
I'm like, yay! And I've been spotted, like, here at the lake about 2 or 3 summers ago.
I'm done.
Hi, girl, I was spotted. So there was a guy with his family, and he's from Chile. And so he was speaking Spanish, like, very loudly to his wife and daughter at the time. I think it was a girl or boy anyways. And so I was like, gosh, you know, why is he speaking so loud? And so eventually I just sort of looked over and I started to speak to him in Spanish. And he was like, eres cubana? I'm like, no, soy hondureña. But I mean, it's the same kind of joy.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
It's
not white.
It's language. It's the fact that even he could look at me and see, es negra, pero creo que ella tiene, es como una mezcla, algo así.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
And yes.
There was just something about us that, again, for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can get spotted out on both sides of the spectrum.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I feel that. I think just, and I say not white because, you know, I still love my white folks.
It's a different experience.
It's a different experience.
Yeah,
it's a different experience. And when, you know, when I see anybody who is not white, you know, anybody of color, right? I'm always like, yes, like I get excited to see somebody in the space. I just brown skin, black skin. There's something that is resonant about the experience that we have, regardless of the origin. There's just something about Black Indigenous people of color that we just got the sauce, baby. We just got the sauce. Okay.
There is something. Like I said, when I can get spotted out on the beach and he was like, no. She speaks Spanish.
Yeah. Emma
that's
says
when you know.
That's when you know. Yes. Emma says it's wonderful to have someone see you. That's real, you know, to have someone see you. That's real shit.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so when those moments happen, I don't take them lightly. Mm-hmm. That's why I just can't do the head nod. It's an embodied experience.
Come on.
Yes!
From the head to the toes.
From the head to the toes.
Come on. So I want to kind of move forward in the conversation, and I'm thinking this could be a guess, but I'm thinking that after, you know, you said you've been everywhere and you end up in the middle of nowhere, you realize that you're having the same experiences that you've had everywhere else. Does that become a catalyst to you sort of developing this blueprint that you've talked about and really saying, hey, I'm just going to have to take this joy and wellness thing into my own hands?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think, mm-hmm. being in a space where you've got to look for tools and, really dig deep and do that inner work to be resilient, to be whole. I can't say that I've not.
Yeah.
And it's been difficult. I mean, life isn't like, you know, a bunch of roses, but at the same time, it's worthy work. I know I'm worthy of doing that work, and it has served me well.
Mm.
You know, it's just served me well to do that work. Mm. So,
tell us about a little bit about your yoga journey. I know you said you had your teacher training in Tahoe. I'm just curious about
that. Was a mess, girl.
Ooh, we want to hear about it.
I will not spill anything on that. I need to slurp my tea. I spill my tea.
Well, you're going to have to give us a little something. We know we like the tea hot. But just curious in general, like, how did you get into yoga? What brought you to become a yoga teacher? Let's start there.
Mm-hmm. So 2.5 million years ago, when I was a puma, I worked in a horrific corporate job.
Wait, tell us what a puma is, first of all. Hold on.
Girl, a young girl in her 20s.
Okay.
and that lasts till about 60. Okay, so that puma range in life is
wow.
Long. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm forever young.
Come on.
But yeah, so it started when I was in the middle of, or I just finished a horrible corporate job. And I was doing all the things. I graduated from high school, and I went to university, and then I got the job and struggled. Like, literally, I started out, and I know that there's this body positivity movement. So I'm gonna say something, but I also want to be respectful.
Yeah.
And if I screwed up, please correct me. I went into my job a size 8-10, and within 10 months I was a size 0-2. Now, none of that has to do with wanting to lose that enormous amount of weight.
Wow.
But the unbearable stress, the mental tax of, and I worked in a financial services company, and
woo!
I was the only woman in my department.
Wow.
It was a level of intensity that literally was so physically harmful that my physician was like, you got to quit this job or you're going to die.
Damn.
Like, you're way too young, 24, 25 at that point in my life, to be doing that. Like, who are these people? I'm like, there are some people that are committed to their beliefs, but I was committed to my beliefs too. My degree is in Latin American studies. They had an office in Dallas, but they also had, you know, offices around the world. And I was determined when I started that job to live in Mexico City and work in their office in Mexico City. And I did that. And then when I came back from that, that's when I was like, here's my 2 weeks resignation, y'all. I have had it. I just needed what I needed to, you know, move forward professionally.
Yeah.
But I certainly do not recommend that mental route to anybody. But I know what it's like as a Black woman, where we're told you got to do the things, you got to work harder. And I'm like, okay, I'm working harder, but I mean, how much harder can I work? Like, I just, I lost complete perspective.
Wow.
On that, my family, friends, I mean, people were like, girl, you need to let this job
go. that job was dragging you, girl.
I was like, La Ciudad de Mexico. That's what I said I was going to do when I came here. And I did that. And then afterwards, I moved to New York, found another financial services job.
Wow.
Similar shenanigans. And then shortly thereafter, I started doing yoga by accident. I started at home and with a DVD. And the
throwback.
Puma. Super long. I mean, I know I look 20 still, but you know. And I kept practicing, and then I moved to San Francisco again, financial services. Moved to Denver, going to yoga studios. And then 8 years in, I was like, I think maybe I should be teaching this. Like, I know enough. I have my own solid personal practice. You know, for me, it had evolved from like a hot yoga practice to a little bit of Ashtanga to vinyasa.
Yeah.
I really got deep into reading about yoga philosophy and yoga history.
Mm-hmm. Which I know you have a big passion for.
Oh, yeah. Huge into that. And then, yeah, when we decided to, you know, kind of stake some roots here in this community, my husband was like, I think you should like teach or something. And I'm like, really? He was like, yeah, you should totally do it. And so I went to Lake Tahoe and got trained up. It was a bit of a train wreck of a training, but
I'm gonna ask you a couple questions now. But but really quick, Got Spice 4.0 says she's in a financial, well, I'm not sure if it's she, he, or they, but I'm in financial services wanting to become a yoga instructor. That's so wild. Look at God. Look at God, y'all. Look, won't he do it?
Do it. I think you can do it. Whatever you go out there, do it. Do what you gotta do for the time being. Do not kill yourself over it. Don't go to the extremes that I did. Like, don't. I would never do that again. That was complete insanity. But yeah, dream big, you know. And even 10 years ago, I just was like, my husband was like, what do you really, really, if you could just do anything, what would it be? I'm like, I'm gonna own my own studio, teach yoga, keep traveling the world with you.
Oh, that's amazing.
I've done all those things, you know, and now we have a child, so my life is a little bit more grounded. But again, I think the practice, the dedication and the devotion that I've developed for this practice I've been able to translate that from a yoga mat into my daily life. And there, like I said, there have been hiccups, but for the most part, this practice has kept me really solid and grounded. So that's kind of a long story, but
no, that was right on point. It was very interesting to listen to the journey. I used to work at the bank too, and I've done all kinds of shit. So yeah, I feel y'all. Okay. The Tahoe training. So what went wrong? And I also want to, since we're going to dive into this, let's just pull some takeaways out of that for people who may be looking at going into a teacher training.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What not to do. Okay. Here's the thing. Here's three things I wouldn't do again. One, live in a house kind of similar to the Big Brother TV show with a bunch of yogis. People tend to bring their emotional baggage into situations when you're doing physical movement practices in general. But more specifically, when you're in a yoga training, people are like heightened and the messiness was coming out. It was crazy. I had to switch roommates. I was like, you know what? This is just a little bit too much for me. The instructor was decent. However, even though I researched this particular instructor, who remained nameless.
Okay.
I wish that, like, you know, on paper, it all looked good. Mm-hmm. I just wish I would have taken, like, a workshop, or two or three. You know, I think it's really important to vet the instructor and the training that you're getting.
Yeah.
And make sure not only that they're giving you the information that would be beneficial to you, but the way that they teach the information. I'm a very visual and experiential type of learner. So I kind of lean towards people showing me, and then let me read a little bit about it. I also think that it's, if you attend a workshop, you can get a feeling for the boundaries of that teacher. And so there's less of a chance to be enmeshed in that training container, right? So if you have students coming and they're vulnerable and their emotional baggage is being heightened, and then you have a teacher who is also emotional, I mean, it's just a train wreck waiting to happen. Ooh. So again, it's really important to have that experience where your teacher is the teacher. They are in a position.
Maybe more neutral.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Where it's just more neutral. Where they're not, I almost use the word idolize, but it kind of felt like that. Like where they're not idolizing other students over, you know, that's kind of how I felt. I was like, yeah, this is not right.
I don't know what y'all doing over here, right? But
I know. And then the boundaries, like, I mean, I think from, like I said, I would take a workshop in a heartbeat, because then you can also see if the instructor touches you with or without consent. If you feel comfortable with that, you can decide if you would prefer to have a male or female teacher. And again, I say that with all the pronouns and all that stuff, because, you know, I'm pretty inclusive about those things.
That's real.
So yeah, those would be things. And from a financial standpoint, it's a financial investment.
It is, yeah.
So you need to really make sure that you're getting what you invested in. The second time, well, not the second time, when I went on to get my 500-hour teacher training and got started with that, I did all the things that I mentioned. I went to a workshop. I spoke many times with that particular instructor before I committed to being part of that training, which was absolutely amazing. She really taught in a way that I could understand on the mat, off the mat. She really took yoga from that philosophical and ancient perspective into the real world experience. So we really delved into neuroscience and psychology and a little bit of history too, which is one of my favorite subjects. So in the last 5 years, that particular training, which I consider the real training, has molded the way that I teach and how I really try to expand the practice off the mat, but make it something that that's tangible. That people are like, oh, like, why should I, you know, meditate? Like, what does that have to do with mental health? You know, I am not a therapist or anything like that, but there's some basic anatomy that I try to, and physiology that I try to share with students so they can understand, oh, that's what happens.
Connect
when
the
my
dots.
Slow down.
Right.
Oh, that's why I need to be less, not be less distracted, but I need to practice presence so that I can just dip into it whenever this time, you know,
call
arises
for
in
it.
My life that I need to be, you know, less reactive when I'm sitting in traffic. You know, hearing horns honking—that's not my experience. I look for moose and deer where I live, but when I lived in the city, you know, it's traffic that would set me off.
Woo.
It's that ding dong at the grocery store. It's, you know, how can we be less reactive if we haven't practiced that, and if we don't have the tools to kind of piece together? Oh, when I take a moment and I breathe, it slows down my parasympathetic system. It kicks in, you know, it shifts my brain just for a split second so I don't come out crazy.
Come on.
So you don't, so I don't go.
So Val, don't cut your ass. Right. Right.
So I can keep it high.
So we can stay up here, y'all. We don't need to be going down here. Okay. Keep it lifted.
Okay. Go low, but just make sure you come back high again.
Come on.
That's my new motto. Okay.
You can dip down, but make sure you head it back up, okay?
Because I am about the satya. Sometimes we need to drop the truth, and it is hot and yes. it's radical, and we need to, you know, be able to bear our truth, but come back to a sense of equilibrium, equanimity, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yes.
But that's my philosophy on it.
No, I love that. And thank you for those tips. I agree. I fell ass backwards into my yoga teacher training and had never been to the, yeah. Well, my friend was working there as a karma yogi at the front desk and was like, hey, they have this, scholarship for yoga teachers, you know, for training. And I was broke at the time. So I was like, hell yeah. I didn't know what I was doing in my life. I was like, all right, cool. Let's do this. But I had never been to the studio, never taken a class there. And although it ended up being, I felt a really thorough training as far as what I took away from it. I agree with you that there's this desire in these teacher trainings for some reason to bring out all this emotional baggage out of people. And I don't even want to call it baggage, but just, it can be a very triggering space and it can bring up a lot. And I actually had to spend some time with my spiritual teachers doing some healing work because it was a lot. Yeah. And I actually considered not going back, and I had to be more mindful of what I shared with the group. There was a lot of trauma mm-hmm. bonding that was going on. And so I think that responsibility is something that is really, really important in the way that these teacher trainings are facilitated. And the thing is that the things that are brought up, and I know we want to talk about the stories that we tell ourselves and all these things, because the whole point is to show up as authentic as you can in your classroom, right? When you're teaching people and you're guiding people through this experience, you want to be able to show up as raw and authentically yourself as you are. And you can't do that if you don't really know yourself and like what's hiding in the corners, right? So I get the premise of why those things are brought to light. But they don't have to deal with that shit after you walk out of the room, right? You have to deal with that. So, you know, my additional tip would just be to be mindful of what you share and what you open up, because you're going to have to be the one to deal with that. And then you're also dealing with other people's emotional things that come up. So you have to keep yourself really protected energetically. And that was something that for me, after we had like a month break, and when I came back with a whole different demeanor. It was like, okay, I'm guarded. I am, you know, and not in a negative way, but I am protecting myself, and I will share, but I decide to the extent which I want to go into depth.
Exactly.
I have been telling people in that class shit I had never told nobody, you know, and I don't even know them. So,
that's a good tip for people. When you're in that space to share things that you have never told anybody else, mm-hmm. that's when you may emotionally be a little bit deeper, and you may need some additional support depending on what that is.
Right.
I think that,
and everybody don't have money to spend on therapy. That's the reality. Everybody doesn't have money to find professional help. So that's my thing is like, yo, you know, if you're gonna be asking of me to pull this stuff out, you better have somebody on deck that I can talk to on the free to manage this shit. Otherwise, you know, let's keep it minimal and just bring awareness and encourage people. But they did provide us some resources as to where we could go. But again, everybody doesn't have the funds to be able to manage that later. And so that to me is a piece that I really took away of like, this is something when I at some point do my teacher trainings, I'll be incredibly mindful of that. So.
No, it's really critical. Yes. And I think that you're right. Like, I am no psychologist, therapist. I'm very clear about what I do. And I'm aware of the trajectory in which people can go down. And as a yoga instructor, ahimsa, nonviolence, is so critical to the practice and fundamental to teaching. And I think that folks that want to go down that road need to have the credentials.
Come on.
Or be able to offer that level of support.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it, or that in yoga practice, if you see someone cry, you just can't react to them. I'm not saying that. I just think that you just have to be very aware of what could potentially be going on and provide someone with resources
absolutely
that may be able to support them. That's all I'm saying.
Because
I think that this has become a slippery slope in the last 5 to 7 years. And I don't know why yoga all of a sudden is this therapy setting. Like, I just, I miss you with that. Like,
yes.
It, can be therapeutic.
Yes, yes.
However, I think we just need to be very mindful of that container, and especially as women of color, when we are, girl, even if we do or don't have the money, we ain't apt to just be going down and calling the therapist.
That's so right.
That's a new thing that we're coming into, which I'm so grateful to see so many people going into therapy, and it's becoming, like, we talk about it
yes.
in our communities.
It's being normalized, yes.
It's being normalized, but imagine.
But even still, you know, the resources can be limited for many of us, and so it's yeah. unfair to put people in that situation. So y'all, check yourself before you wreck yourself, okay?
That's right.
But yeah, some people are going off in the comments saying that this is true, that there was some people who dropped.
Off in a good way. I was like,
no, 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 in a good way. Yeah, there's Prana Healing says, yes, this is so true. My training had a few people actually drop out due to this. And yes, you know, it's very unfortunate. And teacher trainings can be very emotionally taxing. It is true, Regina. I was a wreck. I was so emotional and open emotionally, and I didn't have anybody to really support me. Luckily, I had my spiritual teachers, but I didn't have anybody like my boyfriend or family, etc. It's kind of hard to come home and explain to somebody, like, you're coming home from a yoga teacher training and you're like a fucking wreck. The shit don't make no sense. Like, ain't you stretching and shit? Like, what's going on in there? What the fuck y'all doing in there? You know what I mean?
Tell you something that I probably should have said before, but I went and told this group of strangers.
You feel me? Now I gotta tell you some childhood trauma shit and why I've been emotionally unavailable and all this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like I thought she was going to do some stretches. What is this?
You were just breathing, like.
Right.
That. Yeah.
There you are, but yeah, girl. Yeah, so, just be mindful and be prepared. Do your research, yeah. Like Val said. Make sure you're vetting the folks. Take some classes, uh-huh. etc., so you can get a feel for them. And ask these questions, right? Like, it's okay for you to ask these questions before you make this investment. Hey, you know, are you certified? Like, if you are going to bring it up to stuff, do you got degrees in psychology? Like, what's really good? So be inquisitive and don't be afraid to ask for what you need. Ask if there's going to be support, et cetera, especially in a virtual space. I think that there is a little bit more protection because of the distance as far as an energy goes, but energy can still move, you know, right. without being, you don't need to be next to somebody to have somebody's energy felt, but just be mindful and be cautious.
And people need teachers, you know, the onus is on us, to invite people into a space and make sure that they're emotionally as whole as possible when they leave that space.
Come on. You want people to feel good. You want people to walk away with a win, you know?
Yeah. And even if they're not feeling good, they can leave in a way where they know they have the ability to continue to make themselves whole. You know, because I left yoga class and I didn't feel like, amazeballs.
Right.
But I still knew, you know what, I have enough tools.
Work through. Absolutely.
Exactly.
It's all about empowerment in these spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to leave those situations feeling powerless. So I think that's just really what we're speaking to. So so let's get into this blueprint juiciness.
Okay, the blueprint.
I want to know, you know, we've talked a little bit about how you got to your journey. You ended up becoming a teacher, had some not so great experiences, had some great experiences, really found your groove in your teaching and in your personal practice. Talk to us about your work and this idea of a blueprint through it.
I look to the chakras as it's a yogic blueprint. However, it's so relevant to our daily lives in terms of, you know, like reclaiming your roots. You know, we talk about that in general. You know, you hear it a lot in folk culture, you know, your roots and this and that. And that's awesome. However, what happens when our roots aren't solid, when our roots aren't firm, when we are in some kind of struggle, but we can't put our finger on it? Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's really helpful to look to, where did that come from? Where, you know, I show up today in my relationship as a wife, as a mom, as a business owner, you know, who I am right now with you on this call, but I'm also bringing all of my life experience mm-hmm. into this moment, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it's important to at least be able to reflect on, you know, your roots, your the way that you can create stuff. You know, if we're talking about our Svadhisthana chakra.
Well, tell us really quick for those who may not know, what exactly is a chakra?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. I just realized some people might not know. So chakras are the energy centers that reside in the subtle body. Hmm. From the East Indian perspective, these are centers in the body that move in a circular motion. Mm. There are many chakras. However, there are seven major chakras that run from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. Mm-hmm. And each one of those chakras, again, has that ability to spin, but when it's not spinning, it's either balanced or unbalanced. Mm. And that is due to trauma or some kind of abuse or deficiency that may have occurred. Mm-hmm. The chakras are related to different stages in our lives, from the time that we are young babies to the time that we're in our adulthood. Mm. And just in general, they focus on our roots, our foundation, our sense of environmental security. Like, are we safe? Do we have a home? Mm-hmm. Do we have a roof over our head? Mm-hmm. Are we able to eat? Just those basic needs being met. And then after that, we can build on mm-hmm. being creative and productive and being able to explore our emotions, because we have a seemingly solid foundation. And then when that's all settled, that wheel gets going and moving, and then you're able to rise up into your power center and really tap into, girl, those ego issues, okay? It's good to have a healthy ego, but you need to see, like, what is really going on underneath this? And so that's that. That particular chakra is related to that. And then as we rise up into the heart center, this is one of my favorite chakras, the heart chakra, or the Anahata chakra. Okay. It is that place that divides our grounded chakras that are closer to the earth from heaven. Mm. From this center point in our bodies really is a sort of a metaphor between our ability to think from our minds, which kind of is sort of like a replica of the universe with all of our neurons, billions of cells. It's like the Milky Way galaxy, right? So the heart chakra, it's all about empathy, love, compassion, forgiveness, working through our grief, and that's very difficult. However, when you're able to have this chakra moving and spinning, you're able to just show up and access that higher part of yourself. So we move on from that into our throat chakra, where we're able to express and communicate effectively. We're able to speak our truth. We're not going to sit here playing small. And then we have our Ajna chakra, and it's located in our third eye area. And it's all about vision, intuition, dreaming. Mm. I don't believe that any dreams that we have go unmet at some point in our life. And yes, that's a little bit woo-woo. And we've talked about dealing with your poo-poo with the woo-woo, but it's a little bit woo-woo, but I also think it's true because of some of the things I've experienced in my life, the dreams I've had of traveling the world and them coming true, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes I was broke, and then other times I had some dinero, but mm-hmm. I still traveled, you know. And then the last chakra is the Sahasrara chakra, and it's all related to wisdom, the divinity within, and being able to connect to the divinity beyond what we can see, and having that sense of faith. Mm-hmm. It is critical to our well-being. And I certainly, you know, it's your own business who you believe in or what you don't believe in, or if you call it God or whatever. But having some sense of faith in something beyond who we are, as sentient beings, is also critical. So when you bring all of these different chakras together, and they're all in balance, they're spinning, you are feeling whole, you're able to be more content, and really you can become the most whole version of yourself. That allows you to show up in the world. But again, you've gotta dig deep.
Do the work.
You gotta do the work, you know? So,
thank you for that beautiful breakdown. It's so, so awesome. And in that system, there are, two energy currents called the nadis, right?
That's right.
And I want to talk about really quick how this relates to Kemetic yoga, because our Kemetic ancestors, were very well versed in the chakras, and there are hieroglyphs that specifically point to certain ones, including the third eye, the crown, and I believe the throat were some that were emphasized that I learned about in my teacher training. But essentially, these energy currents, like DNA strands, they intersect at each chakra, and so they loop. So that's where you see in the medical symbol, the staff that's reflective of the spine, and the snakes are reflective of those nadis, those energy currents.
Even at least from the, you know, because there's so many different terms, but the Ida and the Pingala are the snake-like ribbons that go through, and then the nadis are all the touch points along all the chakras
where they intersect specifically.
Where they intersect, but also they kind of reside in different points in your body, kind of like think about like Chinese medicine, the different meridians, body, things like that. So the nadis are more like sort of everywhere. But yeah, the Shishuma is the main channel or the spine, and then the Ida and the Pingala are the ones that.
So we, in Kemetic yoga, there's also,
break it down for Kemetic.
Well, there's just a very heavy emphasis on the spine in the Kemetic yoga practice. And even Paramahansa Yogananda said, and I can't remember his exact framing, but something along the lines of like that your ascension is correlated to your spine, like spiritual ascension is correlated to the spine. And so these energy currents, they essentially live, right? These chakras, these energy centers along the spine, going up essentially in a way. So there's something really important about the spine and the fact that it also runs the nervous system, right? And when we use our breath, we're able to calm the nervous system. And when we are in a space of calm, we can more easily access the emotional blockages that may be present in these different spaces, and provide the opportunity for release and for healing, right? It's just very interesting because those energy currents with the snakes, that was already present in Kemet with our ancestors. So this wisdom has been around for a very long time. I still have a lot more research and studying to do around this, but it's just important to know that there's something very special about the spine and the energy centers thereon. So I love that you broke it down in such a beautiful way. And someone asked if there is a orbit, if the spinning is related to an orbit or if it's like a spinning in place of the chakra energy.
Like, say that one more time.
The question was exactly, is the spin of the chakra energy similar to an orbit, our bodies being the sun? Like, I think she's imagining just...
That they go around. No, they're like fixed.
Stationary, right?
Points. They're stationary. And in their state, their own stationary place, they're just revolving. They're not orbiting or circling anything else.
Got it.
And they spin super, super fast when they're excessive and basically just going out of control, okay? And then they spin really low. Or they spin really low if there's some sort of deficiency or lethargy.
Huh.
But they spin at an even tempo when that particular chakra is balanced. And when that's balanced, it allows the chakras above or below to also be in a little bit more balance.
Wow. So everything affects everything.
Yes. Nothing. And that is yoga. It's all union. It is all the connectivity. And it's also, again, just being aware of where things are occurring in the body. Mm. So for example, with the chakras, there are, not disabilities. I don't want to say illness.
Deficiency?
Yeah, deficiency, but like sometimes there's like physical issues that come up.
Yes, physical illness. Disease, right? Yeah. Dis-ease. Disease.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So when we're experiencing that, again, that can throw the chakra off. But again, you have the tools to learn like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not speaking up for myself. My chakra might be really low, so let me just figure out what is it that's holding me back. And again, with each of the chakras, there are different demons that are associated with it, right? So the demon of fear is at the base of the spine. It's so guttural. It's so human. Mm. We're either going to flee or fight. And if we don't have our basic needs met, it can be very scary.
Yes.
To be threatened.
Yes. Very low vibrating energy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have to be aware of, you know, the demons that we struggle with along the way. So, you know, like I said, if you're dealing with fear, it's a first chakra issue. If it's shame, guilt, grief, anger, the ability to lie. And I think the worst person we lie to is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We say we're not good enough. Girl, that is the biggest lie. But I tell myself that lie too. But I have to work on not lying to myself. And that is all about the throat chakra. And if that throat chakra isn't right, you're lying to yourself about, I'm not a good enough mother. I'm not a good enough sister, whatever it is, because we all got something. So fill in the blank for yourself. Then your mind isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind isn't right. But when you're in your own empowered capacity and you're telling yourself, girl, you are the bomb. You are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You are magic.
Mm-hmm.
You are the universe. I mean, if that doesn't set your mind on fire, girl, I don't know what will.
Right.
So you've got to get your chakras on point, I think. And also, just be aware,
mm-hmm.
You know? Just be aware of where are my holdups in my body.
Yes.
And get real curious.
Yes.
Get really curious.
Mm. I love this, the way that you explain this, because it's in a very approachable fashion, meaning it's not necessarily just thinking about it as like these specific places in my body, but just like, where are these experiences showing up in my life? And really approaching it from that perspective is very practical, because you're like, okay, you know, where am I feeling fear? And then noticing, you know, where is that being held in your body? And for me, in the work that I've done with my spiritual teacher, I have also noticed that, you know, fear may not only live in your root, it may be living in your heart, right?
Yeah.
So there's also sort of like this overlap of like that these blockages or that fear can be in your mind and your thinking or in your speaking. So it's very interesting. And this is why moving the body is so important, right?
Yes.
Because it helps to open up so that you can release. But having an awareness and being able to identify, okay, I'm feeling some heaviness on my heart, right? Like we hear people say that all the time. Like there's something on my heart. I have a heaviness on my heart. That shit ain't nothing. That shit is some energy that's sitting on
that's
you,
right.
Right?
That's right.
So being able to say, okay, well, what is this? Or who is this tied to? And maybe when you think about a certain person, you really feel that. So you know, okay, I'm starting to identify and discern, where is this energy coming from? For me as an empath, that has been really, really, really important, something I continue to develop so that I just don't feel at the mercy of, like in the beginning, you talked about like that feeling of like, I'm feeling some shit, but I don't know where it's coming from, to start to get curious and be like, okay, wait a minute. Let me breathe for a second. Where am I feeling this? Where is this coming from? Okay, I'm going to start to bathe this area with some love and like release this shit and let it go, right? So meditation becomes really important. Spiritual hygiene and cleansing, emotional hygiene and cleansing, mental, all of that.
Emotional, all of it,
yes, becomes a way that we can kind of clear some space. And this is also a great opportunity to lean into professional help, whatever kind of support system, whether it's a therapist or someone who does any other kind of healing that you trust and who is you know, credentialed up or whatever. But another great opportunity to that healing is in the release of these things, right? That the healing is in the letting go. And and when we do that, we become clearer channels. We move slower, right? We breathe different. We're more enjoying of the moment and what's around us. We're in our gratitude.
We're connected to love. We're connected to the energetic force that moves the world.
Come on.
The divine.
Come on.
And so all these things block us from that. When I'm afraid I'm not in love.
Yes.
I'm not acting out of a place of love. When I'm in shame or guilt or anger, or definitely when I'm lying to myself, I'm not in love. I'm not seeing myself in the way that the divine
Come
sees
on.
Me.
Okay. Say it.
So there are things that, and you're right, some of these cross over, like you were talking about, you're grieving, but then there's fear underneath that. Mm-hmm. And that does impact the way that you grieve. If you're afraid to be curious, but you're on the road to grief, you have to deal with the fear first. And then when you are grieving, come from a place of empathy and compassion and vulnerability.
Yes.
And again, coming from that center part of our body and using the tools of forgiveness and empathy and strength, it will take over everything. And there is healing. Healing is possible for all of us.
Mm.
And especially women of color. I mean, I'm so passionate about this because I've seen it work in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my own struggles. You know, like I said earlier, this ain't no cakewalk. These are the highlights in 20 minutes or 30 minutes. When you see people scrolling on the socials, they're just showing you a good part of their day. You don't know. You do not know what they are going through, if they're fronting or not fronting.
Mm-hmm.
If, they're just about to, embark upon a big decision that can change their life and the lives of other people. You do not know. I kind of went off tangent, but you got me hyped, girl.
No, I love that. I think we in the space of love. I love what you said about, I had never thought about it this way, but I love what you said about the heart chakra being right at the center, like three above and three below, right? And the heart is the center, is the root of it all, right?
It is.
And I just,
you.
Yes, talk more
I
about
you.
That.
You know, things, all those emotions that people sing about, write poetry about, I love to hate you, or you, baby, you are mine. I mean, it's just, songs are written about it. You know, it's so powerful. Love can drive us crazy. Love can, make us angry. Love can do so many things, so it's a really, this blueprint of the chakras is a way to begin to develop a sense of self-mastery. And not being afraid to get to know who you are. And sometimes I have been, I am afraid of knowing some of the things I'm capable of doing.
Yes.
As one should be.
Yes.
Because we all have the capacity to be cruel, unkind. And if you're like, I'm a nice person. I can be kind. Yeah, but look, sometimes when you're talking to yourself and you're not kind to yourself, you have the capacity to spew some stuff out of your own mouth.
Come on.
And not be kind to somebody else.
That's
we're
right.
All,
it's all connected.
Capable. Well, yeah, it's all connected, and this isn't, sometimes I have some issues, not sometimes, a lot of the times, I struggle with how the yoga community is looked upon as, oh my gosh, you should be so blissed out. Let me tell you what. Okay, let me break some truth here.
Come on.
You cannot be blissed if you haven't dealt with all the things that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't balancing the fear with love, if you aren't challenging yourself to grow, if you're not trying to expand your mind or reach for the goals that you have or live the life that you envision, it doesn't work that way. Bliss, bliss happens in small moments. I have a child. He lights up my world. And sometimes he don't light up my world.
Come on.
But, there's such a deep connection that I have to my son as a mother that, it propels me forward to deal with my stuff so that I can show up for myself first and then for him,
yeah,
and then my husband. You know, it is really about filling your own cup. And again, that's something that's said a lot, which is awesome. But in order to be blessed, you got to deal with what made you pissed, okay?
Ooh, so, come on and say it again.
Okay? You can't go from pissed to bliss. It's just not possible. You've got to deal with things in between. And at any moment, you could be blessed. I have those moments with my child. Baby, oh, come to mommy. And then he'll say something to me. Like, you know, so this balance,
yeah,
of
balance,
you know, finding yourself between being pissed and bliss is constant. You know, you leave, yes, work and you're happy, and then you get in traffic and you're angry. You go to a yoga class, you did the workout, you're like, I feel amazing. And then you want to scream at your neighbor when you get home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
it's a practice. It's a practice. My spiritual teacher always used to say that happiness is a willed experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and you got to get curious about why you're not happy. Mm-hmm. And you got to do the work around how am I going to identify why I'm not happy?
Yes.
And now what work am I willing to do to get to a place of contentment?
Come on.
To get to a place where I'm more balanced. And that's tough. It's tough. Yeah.
Yes. So. No, it's real. And that's where, again, leaning on, at least for me, I started to commit to doing weekly healing sessions with my spiritual teacher, therapy sessions, whatever you want to call it. And it has been a game changer.
In what ways?
In so many, actually.
Okay, I was like, I don't know. I was like,
yes. No, I
some you want to share. Yeah, but
I've been involved in spiritual studies. Like, I got introduced to metaphysics at 9 years old. Okay, and gemstones and all of that. Way before the shit came trendy, I knew about it. And was already like doing a lot of that stuff. And so I've known her for years, and I have a spiritual group that I share time with a couple times a month. And we talk about a variety of things. There's healing that goes on. It's great. But I committed recently because I really wanted to get through my anxiety. And what over the last couple of months, as I've been doing that weekly, one thing that has been great for me as an empath specifically is to recognize the patterns. What am I seeing weekly? What continues to occur? What bothers me deeply that even after maybe one session going through and releasing stuff the next week, it's still there? Getting to the root of issues, understanding where my past really is still impacting me. Childhood stuff, parent stuff. But it's been a way to gauge my progress and to get to know myself better, because every week when I check in, I get to see where I'm at, and I'm like, okay, this is what happened in the last week. So it's been a great gauge for me to notice, okay, where am I making progress? Where am I still struggling? And to have the support to move through those things. And then to also just know and be excited that, hey, Monday I have my session. Yes, get some healing in this motherfucker, you know? And so it's awesome because it's something I look forward to. I feel supported. I've been really on this kick of accountability lately, and it's not an accountability in like a you better, you know, it's not that. It's consistency, and it's something that I struggle with. So for me, accountability is about being responsible to myself and making a commitment to myself. And so when I am having to show up because I've made a commitment with someone else, I have to show up for myself too in that. And so that's you know, somebody's expecting me on the other end. So I got to show up for them. But at the same time, I'm also showing up for me. And in a situation where I may not have done that, if it was just me, having somebody there at least helps to build that habit. And builds the confidence of making that commitment, right? Like, I can do this. I am doing something. I am committing to it. So it's been one of the greatest investments, if not the best investment in myself that I have made. And I'm really proud of myself for that. And
you should be.
And it's felt amazing. And it is clearing out the dust. It is cleaning the closets. It is revealing myself to me. And like you said, allowing me to get to know myself more and more. And it's been a beautiful experience. So it doesn't have to be in that fashion. It could be a daily or a weekly practice for someone, or where you say on Sundays, I'm going to clean my house externally and I'm going to clean internally and journal and get, you know, it can be whatever it is for you. But I would love to ask you now, what are some tips that you give people for this blueprint? What are some tips? Where can people begin this work?
Sure. Wow, thank you for sharing.
I mean, yeah, feel free to reflect on that if you want.
Sorry, because I'm not able to jump like that quick. I need another cup of coffee, and the brand I'm not going to be branding people, but the kind of coffee I drink is called Kick Ass. But because it jumps me out. But, you know, when I listen to you, and oh, gosh, thank you so much for sharing. You're really pinpointing awareness in real time. And that's something that we live in such a fast-paced society that we're on autopilot, and we don't get to examine those patterns, which in yoga, they're called samskaras. And we aren't able to see what those habits are. And we aren't able to, as we would do in meditation, hold them outside of us and observe them, label them for what they are, and then deal with them accordingly.
Come on.
You know, and the patterns that we all have some kind of pattern, okay?
Yes.
We have patterns on our yoga mats physically. We have patterns mentally, the way that we think. We have patterns spiritually or emotionally, the way that we connect with people or we don't connect with them. So these samskaras, these patterns, I liken them to karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're
reliving our life over and over. You know, you said I'm dealing with some stuff, I'm unraveling and unpacking some stuff. Or what I heard you say is I'm unraveling and packing some stuff that, you know, is related to my childhood or my parents.
Mm-hmm.
It happened so long ago, but I'm still dealing with it in real time. This is karma. You're moving forward in life, but then these things bring you back and forth. So to go back to your question, and if you don't mind re-asking me the question so I can answer it.
Yeah.
You were asking me about how you can apply. I'm sorry, just go ahead. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm trying to remember and I can't.
Well, just, I mean, we've gotten on a bit of a different flow, and I just want to go with this a little bit more. It's what my teachers always say, unresolved opportunities. Unresolved opportunities. And that is the soul liberation, right?
Yeah.
Is to heal the past. My teacher always said, you have no future till you heal your past.
That's, it's so true. I love, that's beautiful. You have no future until you heal. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It is so true. Yeah.
So that's that liberation. That soul liberation comes through the healing, comes through removing those blockages, comes through being in alignment, comes through finding balance and peace, moving from a place of love, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's not easy.
It's not. And it's ugly,
it's
and
so
it ain't cute.
It. It's so worth it.
But it's worth it. It ain't cute, but it's worth it, okay?
It's worth it, yeah. And I think we can all cultivate daily practices.
That's where I'm moving to. Yes. The
busy,
tips.
You know, I've got lots of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the tips. Yes, this is perfect. Perfect segue. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay. So subconsciously, I must have heard your question because now I'm actually answering it. So like from a daily standpoint, well, I'm a busy mom. I'm a wife. I own my own, you know, yoga studio, and I own a building, and I'm renting out the space. I got lots of things going on in my life. However, I have made it a point, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, to just put myself first, unapologetically. At first it was hard. I was like, oh my God, I feel really guilty about it. And then I was like, your husband and your son would be much better suited if you're not having a temper tantrum at dinner time because they didn't do something right. They would be much better served if you would take a nap.
Come on.
And so
y'all know I love a good nap.
It's the in thing to do, you know. So in the beginning, I convinced myself and started this particular self-care practice of taking a nap or tending to my own needs before giving to my family. Like if it's sitting down and reading a book for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or taking a shower or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It started out because I was like, oh, I feel so guilty to do it for myself, but I'll do it for them. And over the last 3 years, it's like, I'm doing it for me and them.
And they get so the residual benefit.
And I do too.
Right.
Yeah. And so sometimes it's not easy to start with yourself.
Yeah.
We're wired as women in general and more specifically as women of color to feel guilty about not giving to everybody.
Yes.
You know, to not nurturing, to not tending to the needs of everybody else around us.
Yes.
But I would definitely say my first tip would be figure out something small you can do. And if there is resistance around that, think of the people that one small act will benefit.
Mm.
And over time, with consistency and awareness, you'll begin to see that things shift. You know, at this point, my guys, my husband and my son, like, they're like, ooh, mommy's cooking dinner. She does not want us around. That's when mommy gets on the phone with her, with, you know, my sister or her other friends. They
you
just
start to train the people around you.
That's right. It creates a boundary.
Yes.
It helps me with my own self-preservation.
Mm.
But I'm also in the act of doing something that I love. I love cooking. I love sharing a meal with my family. I can't stand begging my child to eat the vegetables, but we're working on that. You know, like it's just, it shifts things. And it makes for a calmer home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed in the last couple of years that makes it better. On Fridays, I talk with my sister and two of my dearest girlfriends in the world.
Mm.
And my guys know, it's happy hour for mommy. She's
Come
on the
on.
Phone and catching up. My son joins in sometimes. We do this little show and tell because he does show and tell on Fridays at school. And so then when he comes home, he's like, hey, I have something to show. He shows what he has to share. And I don't have to say to my son, oh, okay, it's time to go. You're talking to him. You know what? He engages. He feels acknowledged by, you know, my sister friends. And then he's like, okay, I love you guys. Bye. Because he's like, look, I could go and watch me some cartoons right now.
Ain't nobody going to be bothering me. Right. I love what you I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I pulled out a few things. One, you found that you are engaging in the things or a thing that brings you joy. And if you couldn't do it for yourself at first, you talk yourself into doing it because you know other people will benefit from you being in a better mood. So I love that takeaway. And then I also love what you said a couple things. And like, it sounds like you've scheduled a particular day to connect with people, connect with friends, right? To have some laughs, to virtually or whatever, but you have scheduled a time weekly where you commit to spending time doing something that you know is important and good for you. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, don't call me between 3:45 and 6 o'clock.
Don't call.
I'm not gonna answer. I'm on the phone with my girls.
Phone on silent. Okay, don't do it.
You know, that's the only day of the week that
I
truly connect with people. Because most of the time I'm home alone. I work from home.
Right.
Or I go to my office at my building. I'm working there alone too. So I live in a forest with nobody. You know what I'm saying? So
you got to make that time.
Is sacred time with my girls, you know, and it's become, and my, you know, my husband dips in too and he'll talk and say hi, but everybody scatters when they know, okay, mommy needs this time because we're going to benefit from this. You know what I mean? So,
and that's the last piece, right? Is like, that those around you will start to see that when you are doing these things for yourself, that you are in a different state of being. And that, okay, and that that impacts the rest of the home, right? So they're going
to
be...
And they also go and find things to do that makes them happy.
Oh, I love
that. My son
that.
Gets to learn, oh, my mom has a boundary about don't disturb me during this time. Or in the morning, my mother likes to drink at least the first 3 sips of coffee while I brush my teeth. He understands the concept of rituals. But he also sees in real time, oh, that's how you take care of yourself. Because I'm raising a future father,
yes,
and partner.
Yes.
And it's his responsibility to know how to tend and nurture his own needs. And my job as his mom is multifaceted. But that's one thing I want him to learn. Tend to your own needs.
Yes.
Love yourself enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Even more important for our ladies out there, right? For our young ladies, for those of you all who have daughters of color, really important.
Yeah, teach the guilt. Let them know you're teaching them. I'm showing you how to take care of yourself. Find something that gives you joy. Mommy did. You can do it too.
Yes.
You know? And it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Don't tell me you don't have, you know, I love it when people, I don't have time.
Right.
I don't have time.
You a lie. You a whole lie.
Yeah. You know, 3 years ago when I decided to, you know, start my own business and do this renovation for the building that I own and all this stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have time. I just stopped watching TV. I watch TV probably 20.
You got to reallocate.
25 minutes a week.
Reallocate.
Because it's not that important.
Right. Right.
What y'all got going on the TV and all the, trust me, reality is crazy enough. Okay. So.
And you know, that's the truth. Yeah, you know, cut off a few minutes off your scrolling time, right? Notice where you're spending your time and reallocate it to yourself, to your own self-care. Val, this has been... It does. It makes a huge difference. Yes, essentialism.
35 minutes a week.
Right.
5 minutes a day, 35 minutes a week.
Ooh, I love that. These tips are so great. Val, this has been just phenomenal.
I've enjoyed this so much.
Oh, me too. We could talk forever. We've got some folks in the comments who are just very grateful and thankful to have caught the conversation. Thank you for being here.
I'm glad that y'all listened to us, shenanigans. I mean, I forgot that you were even recording it. So I was like, oh, let me answer the question.
No, yes. So that's the beauty of it. If you ever want to listen or re-listen to this episode, you can catch it anywhere you stream podcasts. So it's there on audio version. I personally like to go back and listen myself because I catch so many things that I missed in the conversation.
In the moment. Sure.
Yes. So thank you so much, Val, for sharing of yourself. Tell us where we can find you, what you're up to, how people can connect.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been a girl. It's been a power hour and a half. Thank you so much.
It has.
Thank you for doing this. Not only your podcast, but gathering women around the world and showing all of us that we can have wellness no matter where we are. I can be found in the social streets.
I'm dead.
Dipping and doing it in the social streets on Instagram at Vibrant Life Collective by Val. And you can find me on the internet's at vibrantlifecollective.com. Stop by and say hi.
Yes.
Some things that I'm working on that I finally have the courage to come out and show the world. So thank you so much, Angie. It's taken me a long time, but I'm going to be starting up a circle, and I've got a course that I'm working on.
Yes.
I'm gonna start the website.
Yes.
I've got a YouTube channel in the works.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You said to me, girl, you just have to like show up. You're not like being yourself. Hence, for all y'all listening, it was Andy who said, you should add like by Val to the end of that Vibrant Life Collective. So it's you, and that you are what's going on, and you're the leader of this, and you're the one pushing this forward. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's really good for the introvert. And I'm so grateful that I did that. That was some really amazingly good advice. And it's helped me show up in my stories a lot more consistently.
Good. Yes, you have been showing up in stories, girl. Yes, I love it.
I love stories.
I know, me too.
My gallery on point. But like I said, I've got got the circle coming and some other stuff coming up. So you'll see a lot from me this week and in the coming weeks.
VibrantLifeCollective.com.
Yeah, VibrantLifeCollective.com or Vibrant Life Collective Bacow.
Yes, and if you, the handle will be in our last IG post, so you can catch her there. Be sure to follow her, see what Val is up to. She's doing some great work in the world. She is clearly an incredible human being. And I'm so thankful, grateful, and will continue to watch and support the journey. You know, we all out here trying to get it done.
Love you for being, you have been like the impetus. I was going to cuss and say something, but I'm recovering from being potty mouth. Thank you for kicking me where it needs, where I needed to be kicked.
Where the good Lord split you.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much. Virtual hugs. You are a wonderful person. And from the first time we met, I just, I'm like, gosh, I like her. And 2 years later, here we are.
Here we are.
Doing something that you are passionate about. And I'm so grateful to be a little part of this.
All right, take care. You're a big part of it, boo. And I thank you. Much love to you. Have a beautiful rest of the day, y'all. Thank you for listening. Lots of love. Podcast episode will be up soon for you guys to listen. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.